It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I always forget about that. I hate that so much. Fix that. Anyway, so this is not what I was going to talk about, but I am. I want you to look at this glass of beverage with some ice cubes in it. And for those who are just listening orally instead of watching, tell me what color that is to you. I mean, tell me pretty soon, because dead air is bad on the podcast.
You want me to tell you?
Who else could be telling me?
The listeners. You have the listeners tell you things all the time.
That is true. But no, I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, it's got no color at all, but it's not white. It's like clear.
A hint of cloudy to it. But yeah, no color.
Yeah.
If I told you this was one of those knockoff Crystal Light drink mix things, what flavor would you guess it was?
Lemon, I guess.
That makes so much sense. It's grape. And
well, I mean.
No, but here's the thing. So now that I'm doing the shopping in person again, and now that I have discovered this whole secret, we took low calorie drink mix and put just an elephant's amount of caffeine in it thing. That's how I get most of my caffeine now. So I've been buying a lot of these in both the caffeinated and the non-caffeinated varieties, because I have the caffeinated ones to wake up instead of coffee. And then in the evening, sometimes I have non-caffeinated, or like right now, this is a non-caffeinated one. But the caffeinated ones, they got a lot of flavors. And I'm like, oh, I want to try all these flavors or whatever. And recently they had the grape. And I was like, I haven't had grape in a while. I want to get grape. And I tried it. And I liked it well enough that I'm like, I need to get the non-caffeinated grape as well, so I can have that sometimes when I just want grape. But the thing is, the caffeinated grape looks like what, if I had it off screen and told you I have a grape one, what color do you think it is? Like, that's what it looks. It's a dark purple. And this is the first one I got from the box. It has to be an error, because this is a terrible color for this. And it tastes fine. And it smells like grape. Like, absolutely. If I was blindfolded and I tried it, nothing weird. But it is weird like this. We talk about how, like, we eat first with the eyes. And that's a real thing. If things are the wrong color of what we associate with that flavor, it fucks it up. And so this is really strange. I made this just before the podcast and I'm like, what is going on? But it tastes fine. I don't remember what I was going to talk about originally because I got so distracted by this. So there we go. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world embracing all aspects of visual special effects by relentlessly putting carefully crafted practical effects into every filming of our episode, and then spending millions of dollars on CGI to digitally remove those effects from the final product. I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 535.
Well done.
Thank you.
I had a friend the other day. All right, let me ask you about it. So, you know emojis? The little picture words all the cool kids are using these days?
Sure.
So, you know how some of them are like people?
Yeah.
Or body parts. And I don't mean the metaphorical body part. I mean actual, like, hand waving and thumbs up. That's what made me think of it. That kind of thing.
Sure.
And you know how they always had that weird sort of yellow Simpsons color to them? And then at a certain point, they were like, we should be better about this and give a range of skin tone.
Yeah, I think I'm aware yes. of that.
And at least like on my phone now, the first time I use a particular emoji, it has me pick what color I want. Mm. Ranging from incredibly pale Caucasian to incredibly dark, I guess African, we'd say, but very dark skin tone as well. I thought this was cool. Everybody thought this was cool. I mean, I'm sure some people didn't, but those people suck. And I decided at that point that I was gonna mix it up. And so, like, every time I had one and it wanted me to pick, I would pick a different color. I thought that sounded fun. And then I, not long ago, actually watched some videos where people are like, it's a little cultural appropriation-y. Like, there's some subtext if I send a black thumbs up, you know? And I was like, I hadn't really thought about that. Interesting. And I was like, I don't 100% know if I agree, but like it's clearly a thing with some people. So fine. Like, I'll just not do that. And then the other day, a white friend of mine in a group chat sent a black thumbs up. And I was like, that does feel weird. I know her. She's a small white lady. And yeah, it feels weird. And I didn't say anything to her. But it was interesting. Where do you land on this issue that I have just now brought to your attention? Not well, the listeners, William.
I mean, speaking personally, if my phone gave me a choice, which it doesn't,
your phone says.
You know, I think everybody can guess that I would, you know. Pick whatever shade is appropriate for me, and that's just what I would use. And if someone suggested I should use a different one, I probably would think, well, that seems like that could be problematic. I mean, I wouldn't know specifically that it was or in what ways it could be. I would just sort of be thinking of that anyway.
I am unbelievably tickled. I have this image in my head now of you, like, looking at the phone and looking at you, like, which one?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love that idea.
Probably.
In my head, you spend like 10 minutes. In my head, you're like, the light's not good here. Let's just, honey, come in here. Tell me, which one of these hands, which one of these okay signs looks like my okay sign?
And not a white supremacist okay sign either.
No. Fun fact. So yeah, like is that the white supremacist thing now, apparently? Which I'm like, we all grew up with that. I don't know. As soon as that became a thing, I mean, it has become a real thing. Whether or not it started as a real thing, I don't know. But it has become one. As soon as that became a thing, and because I'm weird and I just like to be special anyway, I was like, fine, I'm going to do it different. I'm going to start using both middle and index finger to do okay. So I do it like this, which is dumb as hell. But I thought, what the hell? This is fun. And about the time I was like, it's dumb as hell, it's ingrained now. That is how I do okay. Like, I don't even think about it anymore. That's what I do. So... I have a lot of things like that. I have a lot of weird affectations that I came up with. And then later I was like, that's dumb. But then it was already stuck. For those of you just joining us, let me explain how the show works. We have a hat. It is magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People of all colors. I don't know. I think we have a primarily white audience, but you know. Anyway, anybody who wants to, all of y'all, write in to that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's painfully white servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. This brings an interesting question that I want to ask. Okay. I want to ask both the listeners and you. And so I'm going to specify that up front. And I will also specify I'm more interested in the listener's opinion than yours.
All right.
But I do want your opinion on this. Okay. And this is a serious one, people, because I'm talking about a possible... I've got a hypothetical format change. I think I could, through my strange, very uncomfortable, otherworldly connection to the hat, the same one that got pissed about people writing too long and it was giving the hat hand cramp when writing note cards, you know, that kind of thing. I think I could convince the hat, rather than to transmogrify the emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself, to instead forward to my email its emails as it sees fit and in what order it sees fit. And then I could just on my phone here, get them and read them. And in fact, even probably get the hat to forward them to William too. And William could read them. And what this gives the listeners in particular is now they can just write a full email to us. And backstory and nuance. And you don't have to rely on anybody to abridge or anything. Mm. I have been listening to listener feedback on other podcasts lately, and I've realized there are benefits to that. What do you think, William, of this idea? At this point, I'm imagining some sort of small animal is licking your toes and it tickles, because I don't even know why you're laughing now.
Because
the little puppy is just licking his toes. It's just licking his toes.
Should I say? Because sometimes when I say things that are too much about how the sausage is made, it makes you mad. You get upset.
Uh oh. Well, I mean, try and cover it up in the beautiful figurative language of our weak premise, like I do.
I don't know if I can, because
you heard all the freaking hoops I just jumped through to explain that idea.
But the whole reason I'm laughing is because, you know, 535 episodes. And even when nobody could see us, we were still drawing note cards out of who would have known if we didn't do that?
I mean,
we could have just said we were doing it and nobody
absolutely
would have known.
Absolutely.
But we did. We drew note cards
randomly out of the hat.
Out of a hat. The randomly part, I guess that's kind of key, right? I mean, we did want it to be random. So how else was it going to be random? But
yeah, this would definitely be more curated, but
so it's just this suggestion of why don't we do this? I mean, that's one thing, but then me thinking like, wow, all these years we've been doing it like this.
Yeah.
And we didn't even really have to. We could have just said we were doing it like that.
No, absolutely.
But there's the random part.
I mean, also like, we didn't have to spend the ridiculous amount of money to get Samuel Jackson to do it in sign language either. Nobody could see it. It was pointless and incredibly expensive. But we did that too. It's just our style. And maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's our style. I mean, it would massively change my little scrawl about what happens, because a lot of that wouldn't happen anymore. I just feel like it would give more power to our listeners to convey what it is they have to say and what it is they're actually asking us.
Oh.
And I don't. So that's the question to the listener. Would you like that? And what I'd like you to do is go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what you think about it. Unless nobody says anything, or, you know, just Azure Talon or whatever, we will probably, I mean, I guess William gets half a vote or something, but we will probably make this decision based almost solely on what is said on the blog about this pretty soon. Like, not necessarily just this week, but, you know, because I know some of you are a little behind, but pretty soon. So, like, make your voice heard if you have an opinion. If you couldn't give less of a shit, then, you know, I'm with you. I relate. I mean, I'm the one who came up with the idea, and I don't know that I care. But if you have an opinion, go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what it is. You don't even have to tell us why, although that would be helpful. Okay. Now that you're over the little toy Yorkshire Terrier licking your toes under the table there, what do you think?
Well, it's a little bit off brand, but I mean, it's not, I mean, yeah, why, we could do that. It's
not like our brand has a lot of value.
You know, and it's right.
I mean,
right.
Shitty premise for a podcast, without a doubt. And it wasn't my first choice. I believe in discussions, we went through about five of them, and every single one I was like, oh, there's already 300 active podcasts on this. And so I was like, well, I'll bet there isn't one with a magical hat with its own email address. And sure enough, there was not. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt there. Go ahead, though.
No, and you're absolutely right about another thing, which I think is pretty hilarious, is, you know, the hat, if it has its own email address, it means it can email people, probably, not just receive email and transmogrify them into a note card. I mean, when you think about it, the hat's been kind of, I guess it's nothing to either one of us, but I mean, this would make a lot more sense. It would be a lot less work for the hat. Yeah, I think the hat will agree.
It also would be, yeah, a lot less writer's cramp for the hat. But I gotta be honest, I don't think that's why. Wait, no, in this version, it is my idea. Sorry. It is not out of concern for the hat's writer's cramp that I bring this up. I genuinely have just experienced recently podcasts with viewer questions and feedback, mostly McElroy Brothers, let's be honest. And I feel like there is some value out of being able to explain oneself in an email. There's also value sometimes in just not explaining oneself, like saying, can you curse a real sword? And then giving no context whatsoever. Like, there's fun in that too, but full emails give you both options. And I don't know, because as we've established so many times, we don't know why you listen. And no matter how many times we ask, you don't tell us. So I don't know if this would add to your experience or take away from your experience or have no impact on your experience, except that I know it would make Beth happy. I mean, there's just no way it would not make Beth happy. Beth has entered in so many questions and so few of them have not been digested. And back when she and I used to see each other at record places, she would get really mad. Not even at her questions, but like she'd listen and the next day she'd be like, that guy's question was longer than my last question. And it did not get abridged. So I know it would make Beth happy, but outside of that, I don't know. Let us know, people. How you feel about that? TheMagicalTalkingHead.com. Give us your opinions. Otherwise, I don't know. We might flip a coin. Who knows? Anyway, how's your week been? I got a phone call. Hello. Oh no, my car's warranty is about to expire. They've been trying to reach me. Oh God, sorry, go ahead.
You should have told them to listen to the podcast.
Right?
I was just saying it, my week was, last week was better than the week before, but it's, I don't have anything to talk about or that I want to talk about.
That was fast.
Yeah. All right. I mean, we did see Loki.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
How are we feeling? We watched the second episode as well.
I still like it. I mean, we'll keep watching it. I thought it was pretty good.
The show's good. I enjoy the show. I'm going to keep watching the show. I don't love it as much as the internet seems to love it. And I have no idea why. I have no idea what it is. It's not. It's good. I'm I recommend it. I don't love it. And I'm not sure why. The only thing I'm fairly confident on is I still think Owen Wilson is a terrible casting choice. And update to that, I don't feel like he and Hiddles have much chemistry, honestly. But that's not it. I don't know. It's just like, okay. I don't know why. It's not really getting me, but it's good. It's good. And I'm watching it. Definitely, and we're gonna keep watching it. But yeah, this is weird. We finished season 3 of Pose. I might have before said we finished season 3 of Pose, because the funny thing about season 3 of Pose, the end of season 3 of Pose, is a 2-part episode. But there's no like to be continued. The first one does not end on like a cliffhanger or anything. So we mistakenly thought that part one of the finale of season 3 of Pose was the entirety of the finale of season 3 of Pose. And it left a lot to be desired. And so we were like, wow, that was a terrible ending to this show. And then we were like, oh, wait, there's another episode. And then in that episode, they did all the stuff I would have expected from the ending of the show. So we are now done with that. I still hugely, hugely, hugely recommend Pose. Though I will say, I think third season was my least favorite. You didn't see no interesting movies or nothing? Your wife just playing Control all the time?
She platinumed.
Woo!
On the main game.
Oh, Jesus.
There's
the two DLC. Yeah.
She's got like one achievement left in one of the DLCs. No, maybe she platinumed in two in the one of the DLCs also. I don't remember. She's
one day I went, she was spending so much time on it. And I was like, how much stuff can that one day I went in and actually looked because we're PlayStation Network friends. Mm-hmm. And I compared trophies and I was like, oh yeah, holy shit, that's a lot of stuff that I would never know. Like, I liked that game a lot. I mean, I couldn't even be bothered to finish it, but to be fair, I didn't have difficulty things. But even if I did, I'm like, no, that's too many things. I know. So that is an impressive feat.
You know, she likes it.
I'm still playing Genshin Impact. I'm starting to get a little tired, but I'm still playing it on a daily basis. I feel like I should be switching up to something else. We'll have to see. Honestly, I'm doing a lot of reading right now instead. Oh. I'm not even watching a lot of TV. I'm on another Discworld book. I'm on I think it's just called Guards. It's the first book of the Watch in the Discworld series. And it's pretty good. I like that. I'm 2/3, 3/4 of the way through that. I also finally finished, and now I'm completely caught up on the Dresden Files books. So I got a new audiobook recommendation a while back from Jazz, friend of the show, Jazz, a book by Ben Aronovich called, depending on what country you're in, Rivers of London or Midnight Riot, because American people don't understand the concept of rivers, so they had to change the UK title. And it is urban fantasy, which I think is why she suggested it, because it was like, it's like Dresden Files, but not Dresden Files. So that's good. And I'm really into it. Like, I'm kind of surprised. Normally I listen to my audiobooks when I take my walks, and that's sort of it. I have been coming up with excuses to listen to this one a lot, and I'm really plowing through it. I don't know what it is. It's very British, which I like. It's very unapologetically British. It will use terms and company names and slang and stuff without explaining. So it's nobody did like with Harry Potter, where they kind of translated to American a little bit. None of that. He's not a private investigator. It's a cop. It's a police officer in London. And so a lot of it is done through actual police procedure as a UK police officer, which is very interesting to me. I don't know. It's just got a really good balance on the level of detail. It's not gross. like Dresden Files is kind of gross. The guy's an admitted chauvinist, and we're just sort of supposed to be okay with that. And Butcher's really obsessed with how hot everyone is. Sorry, with how hot every woman is. And I'm just sick of that. And like, this one is told from a first person perspective of a straight man. And there are definite sections that are about him finding something sexy or be like, and in a couple of cases being like supernaturally aroused because of a person. And it is, it makes sense in the story. It's very short. It doesn't spend a lot of time on it. It doesn't come back to it over and over again. Like, it doesn't feel gross. It feels normal. I mean, occasionally I'm still like, I don't need to know that. But I mean, I have that in my real life with straight men that I know. I'm like, I didn't need to know how much of a boner you got from that lady. You could just tell me she was cute, and that's fine. But it's just a refreshing shift from Dresden Files. So that's been really nice, but the story is very interesting and the narrator is very good. So I highly recommend Rivers of London or possibly Midnight Riot, depending on where your books are sold. Also watched some movies. I've watched several movies, including one last night called Harvest Moon that I cannot unrecommend hard enough. Even amongst the shitty movies I watch, it was a shitty movie. Don't do it. I won't even go into why. It's just bad. It's called Harvest Moon. Don't watch it. Terrible. I've been watching movies about mental illness. Not on purpose. Like, I haven't sought these out. But I've watched recently two very different movies that are largely focused on main characters with mental illness. And it's interesting because I have strong feelings about the portrayal of mental illness in films, but I don't think it matches what a lot of people have when they say they have strong feelings about the portrayal of mental illness in films. To me, there are two options you have to not piss me off. One is to do a balanced, nuanced, realistic portrayal of mental illness. That's great. The other is to be so far off from anything remotely realistic about mental illness, that it might as well be they're possessed by the devil. And I'm also totally fine with that. Most of the horror genre uses it that way. Most of the films where it's like, oh, they killed somebody and then, oh, escaped mental patient, you know, all that shit. Oh, they got multiple personalities and they dress weird when it, like, all of that shit is, I'm like, yeah, I'm not even offended because it's so, you're not talking about mental illness. Somebody taught you the word schizophrenic without telling you what it meant. And you were like, sure. And that's fine. And in all those movies, I'm like, they're just possessed by the devil. That also works fine. The problem is when you're in between those, then it pisses me off. Which brings me to The Voices. The Voices is a film from 2014, I believe, starring Anna Kendrick, Ryan Reynolds, Jackie Weaver, Gemma Atherton, a bunch of big fucking names that like nobody's heard of. It is a horror comedy in which Ryan Reynolds plays a disturbed gentleman who works on the factory floor of a bathroom fixtures factory in a very small town. And he hears voices that tell him to do terrible things. In particular, amongst the things that have voices, his dog and his cat talk to him. And like the cat tries to get him to kill people and shit, and the dog tries not to. And it's, I'm sure it's meant to be a black comedy. And I'm really confused about how I felt about it. Like, it's on HBO Max if anybody else wants to watch it. It was entertaining. But, like, I think I was offended, but I don't feel like I was offended. Mm. Like, it didn't bother. It bothers me that it didn't really bother me. But it, like, really went fast and loose, and it tries to be a black comedy, but I think black comedy only really works when you're bumping up against reality and the whole sort of it's funny because it's true kind of thing. Even well, and I talked before about what is it, The Boys of Hell County, the vampire movie that I saw a while back, still on Shudder, still highly recommend. And that one I thought was like the perfect version of black comedy because it was like, here's some fucked up shit, vampires and people dying and shit. And we're actually dealing with kind of the weird, silly, hysterical giggle level of things that would actually happen if that like actually happened in your life. Like if the average person, like the weird, dumb shit, because we're not action heroes, you know? So it's like the weird, dumb shit that would happen if real people got caught up in that situation. That to me is black comedy. We're dealing with serious stuff. And we're dealing with the sort of you have to laugh rather than cry kind of thing. And this was so in its own weird, vaguely David Lynchian place that I couldn't do that. Like when it would get serious, I was like, what the fuck? But then it would get really silly and I'm like, what the fuck? It's very odd. That being said, it was incredibly creative. They play around a lot with things that you see, and then if you see them later when the main character's not there, they don't look the same. Because you're getting his perspective on it, and a lot of things that in retrospect I'm like, it probably looked that way because we were seeing it from his point of view. And that's a cool effect. It was made by an Iranian woman filmmaker who I had not heard of before, but in general weird. Iran has a robust horror tradition apparently that's only just recently sort of starting to come back to vibe here. So that was weird, and everybody acted well, and it was sort of an interesting idea, but yeah, it was largely a mess. I don't know, it's very weird. And then in the complete opposite of this, I watched a low budget Spanish horror film called Psychophony, in which somebody, some long dead scientist has theorized that people with schizophrenia are actually experiencing supernatural phenomena. And so this one doc, this one counselor decides she's going to do an experiment with all these schizophrenic people in the same house for the weekend. And like, we'll see if ghosts and shit happen. And it makes no sense. And it very much, this one, it's found footage, except this one's premise is that it's a dramatic recreation, but they occasionally show you the original footage upon which it is based. And it's an absolute fucking mess because it's just really like fake low quality footage with different actors doing very similar things. Although in a few cases, ways that don't make sense. Like in the dramatic recreation, they try and form a circle around a pentacle at one point and they made it too big and they can't join hands around it. So they get a ghost they have to help out by grabbing hands of two people. I'm not even going to drill down into what that is fucking about, but just trust me in that it kind of makes sense within the story. And then later we cut to actual footage of when the people were doing this and they've all joined hands. Like the ghost doesn't show up on film. So I'm like, so in this world where this really happened, this part where you put a ghost in your circle was just made up. Why? I mean, the whole fucking thing is obviously made up. But why was that a difference in your made up and your real made up and that kind of shit? But here's the thing about this film. It really humanizes the character, and a whole lot of this film is the characters interacting and sort of discussing the difficulties in their life, both that have precipitated their mental illnesses and of living with their mental illnesses. And it made me actually like the characters, which very few of these kind of movies do. So that was kind of cool. And again, it may suffer a little bit from the whole they're speaking a different language, so I can't tell how bad their acting is problem that I've established I have. And there is some absolute bullshit lines in it. Like one of the doctors goes missing, and then later another of those doctors goes missing, and we have no idea how or why. And then near the close of the movie, we see those two doctors sitting in a chair together, and one doctor says, "I understand now that we're dead and we're on the other side, but I still think the experiment was worth it." And the other doctor's like, "So do I." And then they hold hands. And I'm like, fucking what? What? I have like four layers of questions about this. And the bottom layer isn't really a question, but just like that's the lamest line in the history of anything. But I have three levels of confusion above that. So, like, it's not a good movie. But it actually made me, like and feel for the characters. And that was surprising. But again, it's just, like, it's very weird. I still haven't figured out exactly what pisses me off and what doesn't when it comes to mental illness stuff in this way. But it does seem to be, you need to pick one side or the other. You need to treat it very carefully and gingerly and accurately and sensitively, or just fuck everything. And I'm happy with either of those, but it's the middling stuff in between. I think I'm similar on time travel, as we talked about before. I'm like, you really have to get into the details and be careful with it and sort of know your theoretical physics, or just say a wizard did it. Like, but anything in between pisses me off. Also saw yet another movie called Soul to Keep. Don't recommend that. However, it has a deaf person in it, and I like that because that was just part of how it was. Like, there was a deaf person, and most of the people knew sign language and talk and would talk to her that way and stuff like that. And it wasn't like a story about a deaf person. It was a story that had a deaf person in it. It does make me wonder, though, if you have freaky demon summoning and demon banishing spells in an old book and they're written in Latin and you say them in Latin, does the spell still work if you say the spell by spelling out the Latin with American Sign Language? Because I feel like it wouldn't. I feel like that's like a different... I feel like it also wouldn't work if you just translated the Latin into English and said it either. Like, I don't feel like that should work. But it works in this movie. Spoiler alert, it works in this movie. Anyway. Wow, you thought the idea of checking emails on this podcast was way funnier than like anything I've said here. Or the dog went away. The little teeny dog.
I must not be in a very I don't know.
My brother texted me a couple days ago to tell me that he and two of his sons listened to the most recent episode of the podcast and were cracking up. And then he said, but we had a question. We talked about this, about William. Does he ever get to speak?
Oh, they thought you were funny is what you're saying.
I guess. But they also thought you don't get to talk. And I said, on occasion, he will go on for about 20 minutes about some boring shit. But outside of that, I work hard to interrupt him as a public service.
Right. Yep.
And then we got into the whole thing that you and I talked about earlier, where I realized that you're the Stanley Laurel to my Oliver Hardy. And my brother said you were the Teller to my Penn, which I don't think is super fair to me, because I don't think I'm as good as Penn, but. God damn it, I keep forgetting about that fan. I hold still long enough, I'm like, maybe he'll think I froze. And I'm like, no, the fan's still there. Yep. All right, should we draw a thing? You're yep. Half asleep, so we should get something out here. This question comes from Jazz. Jazz, thank you for the book recommendation. I'm really enjoying it. And back at you, check out Becky Chambers if you haven't already. Good shit. Wayfarer Chronicles. Love that stuff. Jazz asks, what's a bad commercial you've seen recently? You got one?
No.
Man, you are checked out today. I have one because literally I saw it shortly before we recorded this podcast. Okay. And I've been seeing a lot of it. Grand Canyon University. And I'll tell you why it's a bad commercial. A couple of reasons. It is a private Christian university. I know that for reasons I will get into. But first, I do want to say, being a private Christian university, their whole thing is, we all have a destiny. Come to GCU and find yours. And I'm like, that is a dangerous claim to make. Like, I mean, I am vastly familiar with the general Judeo-Christian concept, let's be honest, Christian concept of God has an ineffable plan and you just need to trust it when things happen. But to extend that to, and his ineffable plan is you get a degree in X at our school, seems a little presumptuous, I guess. Like, God's plan, we're not even going to tell you that God's plan is for you to come here. We're saying come here and do whatever it turns out God's plan was. I'm like, I'm not sure you have the authority to be making that suggestion. Like, That's weird. But what I really, really hate about the commercial is they have a line near the end of the commercial where they say, and I cannot stress enough, apropos of nothing, there is no lead up to this line. They say, and this is why I know it's a private Christian university, what do you think a private Christian university looks like? And then they proceed to not address that at all. Like, they don't, they just put that question out there. And I hate it because I have no intention of ever attending this school. And yet I can't sleep now because I am tossing and turning all night trying to figure out what I think a private Christian university looks like, because I'm not sure. And I don't know why they asked me. Because, I mean, it looks like them, right? I mean, what are they asking? Why are they asking that question? It bothers me. Like, I feel a weird rhetorical judgment in it somehow. Like, they're trying to claim that, like, this isn't your father's version of a private Christian university. And I'm like, I had no preconceived notions. Well, okay, I might have some, but I still have those. About what a private Christian university looks like. Like, I don't know. It feels confrontational in a way I am not comfortable with. But also completely nonsensical, because I'm like, why does that answer? How does that answer pertain? I mean, is it like, what do you think a private Christian education looks like? Do you think it looks like us? Do we look like one to you? Because we are. So if you trust your eyes, then come here. Like, that's a version that would make sense, but also be really dumb. So I don't get what's happening.
It raises the question, do they now, or have they ever, private Christian colleges, do they now, or have they ever looked any different than other colleges?
Right. And I'm like, I don't, I mean, more Jesus statues, presumably. there's, for the record, I mean, there's nothing else in the commercial that, they don't ask this question while you're looking at something that you wouldn't associate with a private Christian university. I mean, let's go with stereotypes here. Private Christian university, you're only doing theology stuff and it doesn't matter. It's not a picture where they're like, what does a private Christian university looks like to you? And you see people like in a lab working with lasers or some shit. And you're like, oh, that wasn't what it, like, that's, it's just people hanging out and graduating and shit. And they do have a thing at the bottom that's like, maybe, mask up.
No, we
this
should
is
make
all pre-COVID footage.
No.
What we'll, does a bottom we'll rung zero effort
like
podcast
this.
Look to you?
No. It'll go like this. So some person, man, woman, doesn't matter, will say, you know, is this what you think a private Christian school looks like? And they'll be on a quad or something, and then, you know, we'll cut to him standing in front of a bunch of guys who look like hipsters, and she will make it a girl. She'll say hipsters, and then we'll cut to another thing where some people have rainbow flags and stuff, and she'll say gays, and then we'll cut to another, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that nobody thinks is good. Oh, Democrats, you know, stuff like that. We'll just have it cut to different groups of people. Like, wow, we have all these types of people on our private Christian campus. And I'll bet you we did.
That would be a good commercial. What I want is the same thing, but it's not even people in the background. maybe we don't even have the person in front. It's just like, what do you think a private Christian college looks like? And it's just a picture of like a bread box. And then it like switches to a picture of like a bottle of milk, and then a picture of like a small dog, and then a picture of a tricycle missing one wheel and shit. And for added benefit, I really want to do it with the whole eye doctor line as well. So what does a private Christian university look like to you? And how about now? And now? How about now? And it's just different things, like two Brussels sprouts and then like a penguin and then just like an acoustic guitar. And then an acoustic guitar with a small bird bath glued to it for some reason and things like this. Like, let's really dive on a deep level into what, like, let's pick apart not just private and Christian, but also university. And like, really, could a private Christian university be a sailboat? Could a private Christian university be a cloud? You know, I love this idea. I want to really like this. What does a private Christian university look like to you? Maybe it's this right here. Maybe it's too, I'm going to say non, like very much not Christian dudes talking about whatever. Oh, but now I'm here. So I have talked in the past about the PSA against driving while high on pot. You remember this? Okay. They had a PSA and it shows somebody at one of those like roadside shrines where somebody died. And it tells you, it's like, of people who were involved in fatal car accidents that were tested for marijuana, 1 in 3 were tested positive. And that's like the shock statistic. And I'm like, so out of the people that got in fatal car wrecks and you were like, we're pretty sure they're on pot, most of them weren't, is what you're telling me. The majority of them were not. Most of the people you thought was on pot that killed folks were not on pot and killed folks. That does not make me scared of pot. That doesn't even make me scared of driving while on pot. And I'm already opposed to that idea. Like, that is a bad statistic to scare me with. You're like, most of, they're not, like, I know they want us to think, like, of the people who fuck shit up in their car, a third of them are on pot. No. That's not what you're saying. You're saying of the people that we were confident enough that we tested them, a third of them were. So we have a bad track record on predicting who's on pot in these accidents. So that makes me mad. Also, see, we don't need you for this one. I have a lot of commercials I'm mad at. There's a lot of old commercials I'm mad at. All the things that tried to imply stuff were for men. There's so many of those. I hate those. No, there's one that's really been bugging me lately, and it shows up on my YouTube all the time. And it's from TIAA Cref. And I hate them, which is funny because my retirement money is with them. But I hate them because it's a commercial. In this commercial, it's just a montage of diverse professional active looking people. Like, there's nothing to the visuals. It is stock footage central. And there's some strings in the back. And they say, because your passion never runs out, neither should your income. And I'm not even mad about the fact that those two things don't go together in any way. I'm not even mad about the fact that that is a terrible if-then statement. I'm mad about the implication that my passion never runs out. My passion ran out 5 times during this recording. My passion runs out all the time. It comes back, but it runs out. And I don't, anybody who says their passion never runs out is a passionate liar. They have a passion for lying to me about when their passion runs out. And I'll bet that passion will run out eventually. I'll bet there's a time where they're like, you know what? Rather than lie to you about how passionate I am, I'd rather go home and relax a little bit. Because their passion's run out. So is a bullshit premise and a bullshit conclusion off of that premise. TIAA cref. But they apparently haven't missed a payment in 100 years. So I do like that. But it's a bad commercial.
Must be their passion.
You got none? You really got none? I get mad about commercials all the time. Oh, so mad.
I think I mostly ignore them. So
I commercials are so, well, there's two things. Commercials are so unimportant that I can really get my rage into it and like not be worried that I'm gonna, like, you know, when there's a political issue and I'm like, yeah, like I try not to like go whole. I'm like, you know, you need to think about this rationally. You don't want to make a hot take on it or whatever. But when it's a commercial, I'm like, I'm not going to feel bad if somebody's like, actually, you should interpret it this way. It's a fucking commercial. It's what's wrong with humanity to begin with. So I come at that with all the same rage I come at with how you hang the toilet paper. And if I'm totally honest, my passion is running out about my opinion on how you hang the toilet paper. But so I love them for that. But the other thing is I'm always fascinated by commercials on a psychological level, because there are so many commercials I watch that I'm like, no, it is impossible to think that that commercial makes me want to buy this product. But that's legit, because sometimes that's not the point of a commercial. Sometimes the point of a commercial is just to keep them in your head. So the next time you need that particular product or service, they're the first thing that comes to mind. And that is effective.
Right.
And the extreme version of that, of course, is Liberty Mutual Car Insurance, which just shows you some random bullshit, frequently involving an emu, and then gives you their jingle, which is just their own name four times. Like, nothing about that is appealing, but I remember them. So I think that's a lot there. Like, I got to give them credit for that. It's so, and it's just meant to be like, oh, it's a goof, but it stands out in your head, which I get. Now, on my level, I'm like, this also looks like it was made by 16-year-olds, and I don't trust 16-year-olds with my car insurance. But I remember them. And Liberty Mutual came out of fucking nowhere. I had never heard of them. And now, if you say car insurance company, it's one of the first ones that pops in my head. So, credit where credit is due. But so I'm always fascinated. I'm always interested in looking at commercials and being like, what specific, I know the end game is buy our product or service, but what specifically do they think this commercial will evoke within me? And why is that what they want? And I find that very interesting. Man. It's getting dangerously close to the point where I want you to talk more. That never happens. If you'd like William to talk more, tell us about it on the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com.
No, don't do that.
Absolutely do that. If the listeners want to hear more William, we need to know this. And what do you think a private Christian university looks like? Because you've been pointing at a lot of shit and saying it's a private Christian university when it wasn't. And I'm not going to go on walks with you anymore if you keep pointing at shit and saying it's a private Christian university. So we need to lock this shit down. I'm talking to the listeners, not to William. I don't go on walks with William.
Feminists.
Homeless.
Oh, they probably guessed there were some of those.
Here's one that might shock you. Muslims.
Yeah, there you go. Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Government agents, yeah, with large checks. Wait, what?
Just all kinds of things you wouldn't expect to see.
What do you think it looks like?
Science.
Like, see, now I feel like we're getting into stereotyping again.
I'm sorry. That was bad. No, that was bad. I'm sorry. My apologies to anybody who was offended by that, because I was just being cheeky.
Jesus was a famous biochemist.
I'm just saying.
What do you think a private Christian university looks like? Does it look like this neck pillow with a suspicious stain on it?
That right there was an example of one of those things that comes up in my head that usually I would not do. I'd go, no, move to the back of the bus, but nope, out it came. And I'm thinking, why did I do that?
Like, I can't even
that stuff all the time.
I can't even pinpoint exactly why, but I still feel like the metaphor of move to the back of the bus was probably not your best go-to in explaining that. I don't think you said anything wrong there. I just think it was weird territory to cover while explaining about the accidentally potentially offensive thing you just said.
Yeah.
No, I have those too. I'll give you some advice on those.
I don't need any advice. I suppress them all the time.
No, you don't. I think that's the problem. Don't suppress them. Tell them to your spouse. Trish and I do this all the fucking time. Because, again, we all got issues. We all got racist, sexist, whatever, socialized bullshit up here. And we've got those thoughts, and you can't stop those thoughts. It's how you act.
I don't think it's always... Sure. I don't think it's always about, you know, like, I don't have any beef against Christians or even against someone who's a creationist. I just am thinking this would be funny because it is. It's funny. Even a Christian should think it's kind of funny if they have a sense of humor about things.
All right.
But
I'm going to stop you there.
I mean, don't you think it's funny?
I've heard this argument before, and it ends with decrying cancel culture. So you got to be careful.
Okay, no, I know. Okay.
Right. I do.
I know.
Contextually, it is funny, and I get the joke. I like mine better. I'll be honest. If somebody was going to be offended by that joke, they would have been offended way the fuck earlier in our discussion of Grand Canyon University. So,
sure, but I just don't.
Fair dues.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I have a lot of experience offending people in my life. So I just have a nose for this stuff because I work really hard to offend people a lot. And so I've really picked apart what offends people. So I'm prepared.
I don't like offending people.
You got to do it with a certain panache. I'm offended. You said it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm out of grape drink. So that means it's time to end the podcast. Also, I got to take my cat to the vet very soon. So, if you have a question you want us to talk about, write in themagicaltalkingcat@gmail.com. Also, William has frozen where it looks like he's just super grooving on whatever he's hearing in his headphones. Also, go to the blog, magicaltalkingcat.com. Talk to us about this potential format change. If you don't do it, Azure Talon will, and nobody likes that. And Azure Talon will genuinely just come up with what will piss us off the most. Like, he's not thinking about you. And because your passion never runs out, listen again next week.
It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery
until we venture into the magical talking hat.